Section 1. Listening Comprehension. Time, approximately 40 minutes 50 questions. Now set your clock for 40 minutes. In this section of the test, you will have an opportunity to demonstrate your ability to understand conversations and talks in English. There are three parts to this section with special directions for each part. Answer all the questions on the basis of what is stated or implied by the speakers in this test. When you take the actual TOEFL test, you will not be allowed to take notes or write in your test book. Part A. Directions. In Part A, you will hear short conversations between two people. After each conversation, you will hear a question about the conversation. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Now begin work on the questions. Number 1.
The professor drilled and drilled until I couldn't stand it.
I heard he assigned a whole lot of exercises without explaining any of the grammar rules, too. I'm glad I went to the gym.
What are the man and woman talking about? Number 2.
They sell gas by the gallon here.
Yes. And I see that the bulk food in the grocery store is sold in pounds and ounces.
What are these two people most probably discussing? Number 3.
You look awful. Do you have a hangover?
No. I've been up all night finishing a paper. All I've had to drink is coffee.
What is the man's problem? Number 4.
Can I use my credit card to pay my fees? Or do I have to give you a check?
Can I use my credit card to pay my fees? Or do I have to give you a check?
How does the woman want to pay? Number 5.
Is Jack your cousin?
No. He seems more like a brother, really, but we are just good friends.
What is the relationship between Jack and the man? Number 6.
So I asked Frank if we could live together next semester, and he said that he was going to room with Jeff.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, I know that Steve is looking for a roommate.
What does the woman suggest? Number 7.
Do you need a ride to the airport?
Thanks, anyway. I thought I would, but I have my car back now.
How will the woman get to the airport? Number 8.
Okay. What will you have?
Give me the eggs and potatoes. Oh, wait a minute. How about the eggs and pancakes?
What does the woman want to eat? Number 9.
Let's go to Florida on spring break.
You're putting me on.
What does the woman mean? Number 10.
Can you believe it? It says in the paper that tuition is going up another $100 a semester.
That's just what I need.
What does the woman mean? Number 11.
Are you worried about getting a job after graduation?
No. I've had several good interviews, and I can always work for my dad for a while.
How does the man feel? Number 12.
That was a great movie.
Sure, if you like fairy tales.
How did the man feel about the movie? Number 13.
I'll leave the tip since you got dinner.
Okay. $5 is about 20%.
What does the man suggest that the woman do? Number 14.
Oh, no. We're locked out of the dorm. I didn't think it was that late.
Do you have a phone number for the security guard?
What does the man suggest the woman do? Number 15.
You mean this test isn't open book?
Not this time.
What had the man assumed about the test? Number 16.
I just used the security deposit from my old apartment for a deposit on the new one.
So you did get your deposit back after all.
What had the man assumed? Number 17.
I love hot tea and a large glass of orange juice.
We only have one size orange juice. It's pretty big enough. About like that.
What will the man probably do? Number 18.
Have you seen my chemistry book?
It was on the kitchen table yesterday. Did you have it with you when you went to the library last night? Maybe you left it there.
What will the woman probably do? Number 19.
That book is on reserve, so you can't take it out of the library. You can use it here for 2 hours, though. Or, you can wait until an hour before closing and check it out until the library opens at 8 in the morning.
Okay. I'll come back tonight.
What does the man imply? Number 20.
Do you know where I can get a soda?
Isn't there a machine downstairs?
What does the man imply? Number 21.
You should have your mail held at the post office until you get back.
The idea. I remembered to get the newspaper stopped, but I'd forgotten about that.
What are these two people talking about? Number 22.
No wonder Sharon won't see you. She probably thought that such an expensive gift was inappropriate on such short acquaintance.
It certainly is different here. In my country, men are supposed to show women that they care for them by giving them jewelry.
Why did Sharon stop seeing the man? Number 23.
What did you get on the calculus exam?
A C. And I feel lucky to have it. Mike got a B, but almost everyone else got D's and F's.
What grade did the woman receive? Number 24.
How many boxes of Girl Scout cookies did you order?
4, no 5.
How many boxes of cookies did the man order? Part B. Directions. In Part B, you will hear longer conversations. After each conversation, you will be asked some questions. The conversations and the questions will be spoken just one time. They will not be written out for you, so you will have to listen carefully in order to understand and remember what the speaker says. When you hear a question, read the 4 possible answers in your test book and decide which one would be the best answer to the question you have heard. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the problem and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Now begin work on the questions. Question number 26 to 30 are based on the following dialogue. Listen to part of a conversation between two students on campus.
We seem to be having this conversation over and over again.
You're right.
Look, I know how you feel about my smoking. You don't have to tell me every day.
I'm sorry. I worry about you.
I know. But work and school have me so stressed out. Maybe I'll be able to quit after I graduate.
Let's be honest. There's always going to be a reason not to. After you graduate, it's going to be hard to find a job, then there will be the stress from just starting a job, then.
Okay, I get your point. It's just so hard. You don't really understand because you never smoked.
You need some help. Why don't you go to a doctor?
You mean a psychiatrist?
No, I don't. I mean a general practitioner. Maybe you can get a patch, or some pills. Well, I don't know. Something to help you with the withdrawal? Because that's what it is.
Really, I believe I can quit on my own. Just not right now. But I'll think about what you said. I will.
All right. I won't mention it for a week. Then I want to know your decision. Because if you don't get some help, I need to rethink our plans.
You mean you'd break our engagement over this? I can't believe it.
I don't know. I love you. But I'm not sure I can accept everything that has anything to do with smoking.
Number 26. What is the main topic of this conversation? Number 27. What does the woman suggest? Number 28. What does the man promise to do? Number 29. How does the man feel about the woman's decision? Number 30. What can we infer about the woman? Question number 31 to 35 are based on the following dialogue. Listen to part of a conversation between a student and a secretary at the newspaper office.
I'd like to put an ad in the newspaper, please.
The classified lady?
Yes. I want to sell my furniture. I'm moving.
I see. May I have your name, please?
Bill Martin.
M-A-R-T-I-N.
Y-N.
Okay. M-A-R-T-Y-N and your address, Mr. Martin.
For the next few weeks I'll be at the Garden Apartments on Book Boulevard.
Is that where you want to be billed?
No. I'll probably be gone before a bill could be sent. I'm just going to pay cash.
Okay. The rates are by the inch, not by the word. So, if you want to use abbreviations that might save you some money.
Oh, that's a good idea. I have everything written out here, but I'll just check it over before I give it to you. Maybe I can use some shorter words, too.
Okay. You can use that table over there to make your revisions. Just bring it back to me when you're ready.
Number 31. What prompted the conversation? Number 32. What does the man want to sell? Number 33. What is the man's last name? Number 34. How will the man pay? Number 35. Why does the man decide to revise what he has written? Question number 36 to 40 are based on the following dialogue. Listen to part of a conversation between a student and an advisor on campus.
I usually advise first-year engineering students to take mathematics, chemistry, and an introductory engineering courses the first quarter.
Oh, that's only 3 classes.
Yes, but I'm sure that you'll be busy. They're all 5-hour courses, and you'll have to meet each class every day. The chemistry course has an additional 2-hour laboratory.
So that would be 17 hours of class a week.
That's right.
Okay. Which mathematics course do you think I should take?
Have you taken very much math in high school?
4 years. I had algebra, geometry, trigonometry.
Good. Then I suggest that you take the math placement test. It's offered this Friday at 9 o'clock in the morning in Tower Auditorium.
Do I need anything to be admitted? I mean a permission slip.
No. Just identification. A driver's license will be fine.
Do I take a chemistry test too?
No. Chemistry 100 is designed for students who have never taken a chemistry course, and Chemistry 200 is for students who have had chemistry in high school.
I've had 2 courses.
Then you should take Chemistry 200, Orientation to Engineering, and either Mathematics 130 or 135, depending on the results of your placement test. Come back Friday afternoon. I should have your score on the test by then and we can finish getting you registered.
Number 36. What is the purpose of this conversation? Number 37. How many classes does the woman advise the man to take? Number 38. What does the man need to be admitted to the examination? Number 39. What does the woman suggest? Number 40. What do we know about the student? Part C. Directions. In Part C, you will hear several talks. After each talk, you will be asked some questions. The talks and questions will be spoken just one time. They will not be written out for you, so you will have to listen carefully in order to understand and remember what the speaker says. When you hear a question, read the 4 possible answers in your test book, and decide which one would be the best answer to the question you have heard. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the problem and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Now begin work on the questions. Question number 41 to 44 are based on the following dialogue. Listen to a talk given in a university class.
In today's class, we are going to examining some 19th century pattern books that were used for building houses. I think it's fair to say that these pattern books were the most important influence on the design of North American houses during the 19th century. This was because most people who wanted to build a house couldn't afford to hire an architect. Instead, they bought a pattern book, picked out a plan, and took it to the builder. The difference in cost was substantial. In 1870, for example, hiring an architect would have cost about $100. At the same time, a pattern book written by an architect cost only $5. At that price, it's easy to see why pattern books so popular. Some are back in print again today, and of course they cost a lot more than they did 100 years ago. But they were invaluable resource for historian, and also for people who restore old houses. I have a modem reprint here that I'll be passing around the room in a moment so that everyone can have a look.
Number 41. What is in pattern books? Number 42. What course would this talk be most appropriate for? Number 43. According to the speaker, why were pattern books so popular? Number 44. According to the speaker, who uses the pattern book today? Question number 45 to 50 are based on the following dialogue. Listen to part of a talk by a college professor.
The first few pages of the syllabus are an outline of the topics for each session. As you can see, you'll be responsible for reading the material before you come to class so you'll have enough background to be able to follow the lecture. For example, on September 3, when you come to class, you should already have read the first two chapters in the text, so we can discuss the history of psychology in that session. The following week, you should have a grasp of chapters 3 and 4, so we can cover biology and the psychology of the brain, and so on. Now, let's take a few minutes to look at the policies and procedures listed on page 3 of the course syllabus. Refer to the section under assignments first, please. You'll notice that all assignments must be typewritten and submitted on the due date. In order for you to receive full credit in the grade for a late assignment will be lowered by one letter for each day past the due date. Now, look at the section under examinations. As you see, All exams must be completed on the dates and times scheduled in the syllabus. If you must be absent, I mean for an exam, then try to call me to let me know what your problem is. My office phone is on the syllabus, and my home phone is listed in the telephone directory. Of course, email is best, and you have my email address on page 1. It's right under my name on this syllabus. A makeup exam must be arranged within 1 week of the scheduled date of the exam. And, I must warn you, the questions on the makeup will not be the same as the questions on the regular exam. In fact, I usually give multiple choice tests, but I always give short answer tests for makeups. And, my students tell me, they say the makeups are quite a bit more difficult than the regularly scheduled exams. Oh, yes, let's take a minute to clarify my attendance policy. I suggest that you come to class. I'll be assigning you a seat. Yes, yes, I know you'd rather choose your own seat, but this is a large class, and it would take up too much time to call the roll every session, so I'll just mark those people absent or aren't present in their seats by the time the class begins. Better late than never, but if you're late, you'd better check in with me after class so I can change my attendance records. Remember that attendance is 10%. Sorry. 15% of the grade, which usually makes the difference between an A and a B, or a B and a C. Let's not even talk about DS and FS. One more thing. If you need to request an incomplete, please remember that I only approve them for illness or for a serious personal problem, not just for because you ran out of time. And you must submit a request form with a signed statement of explanation to my office in order for your incomplete to be considered. Otherwise, you will have to register and take the entire course over again to get credit.
Number 45. What is the main purpose of this talk? Number 46. What is the speaker's policy for late assignments? Number 47. What is the professor's attendance policy? Number 48. What is the procedure for a student to receive a grade of incomplete? Number 49. Listen again to part of the talk. Then answer the question.
Better late than never, but if you're late, you'd better check in with me after class so I can change my attendance records. Remember that attendance is 10%. Sorry. 15% of the grade, which usually makes the difference between an A and a B, or a B and a C.
Why does the professor say this? Remember that attendance is 10%. Sorry. 15% of the grade. Number 50. What can we infer about the speaker?